When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Music.
It's a celebration, OB.
Wrong music.
Bears won, OB.
Well, they won, and we're going to celebrate Chicago going in the Hall of Fame. But the Bears did win. Yes, absolutely, they won the football game.
Hey, 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 good afternoon. 26-21, Bear down. Sixth win of the year. Hamp and OB with Kaz.
Do you want the win, though, this late in the year when you're...
Probably not.
Draft positioning. I mean, that's been the story of the Chicago Bears the last 10 years. They win when they're not supposed to, and they lose when they're supposed to win.
It's
unbelievable.
Every one of the writers in both papers picked Tampa Bay. And for all intents and purposes, this, of all games, was truly a meaningless game. And what it was remarkable that the Bears go down and gut it out in warm conditions. But most importantly, it was a game, and we looked at each other five times during the course of the first three quarters, OB.
Yeah,
at every turn, when something bad could have happened, it was always bad for the Bucks. And you know what? The worm turned. The Bears won. We're happy about that, guys. And you're always happy when you win. But I got to tell you, Bard, you talk about a pillow fight with a weak sister. This was it. And you know what? A win's a win, but my gosh, I don't want to watch this one again.
You know what, Dan? You couldn't. I mean, the Bears got every break in the book. All right? You know, the one thing on the special teams, when, excuse me, the punt was blocked, every guy knows, and Glenn will attest to this, when you play, you hold your ground and you protect inside. Those are the two things you do when you punt the football. Hold your ground and protect the inside. Bang. What did he do? He didn't hold his ground. He didn't protect the inside. Bang. Block punt.
And we're talking about Leroy. Well, let's call him LeWiff Reynolds, because that's what he did on the other linebacker for Tampa Bay, who just basically took an
rushed
inside charge, and it was an unimpeded. It was like a cab hitting a pedestrian.
That never should happen. And the other thing that kind of gets me, you know, and I've been saying about, you know, we understand we can win games like this, okay? We're pretty good at doing this. Well, what am I talking about? It's just our sixth victory. But we're holding in there. Cutler, again, great job, Cutler, playing a phenomenal – he's got a phenomenal year, phenomenal game. But when we get down there, I believe it was the second quarter, with about 4 minutes and 30 seconds to go, we're down there. We're like, what, on the 7-yard line? Glenn, correct me if I'm – somewhere's in there.
Yeah.
And you mean to tell me not one time do we throw the football into the end zone to score a touchdown. Not one time.
In fact, the first play was
now,
a bubble
that,
screen.
That, folks, is unacceptable. That's unbelievable. How do you not try to score a touchdown?
Yeah, they were playing for field goals, basically. And, you know, going back to the special teams play, look, at any level of football, on a punt, when you're punting, between the tackles are the only spots where you can literally block the punt against a punt team. So a punt rush team is going to attack you between the tackles, try to rip a guard out and circle underneath and hit the gap. In this case, all the Bucks did is the backer took an inside rush on the guard. So think about it. The guy next to the long snapper, Reynolds, he takes a step outside instead of, you know, normally they teach inside, outside, inside release, protecting to the inside, and it's a drop step. Boom, boom. It's almost like pass blocking. You just lock up and you go.
Yeah,
This guy took a step out and was trying to cover. It was remarkable.
Hello with Reynolds.
But it's how, you know, we talked about, hey, who do you get rid of? What did I say last week? Well, if you're going to talk about coaches, special teams. Well, they did it again this week. I've never seen such poor techniques taught and practiced on the Bears with the special teams. These guys just aren't doing the fundamentals right.
Shouldn't be happening this time of the year.
But you know what? Okay, some kudos. Jay Cutler, was patiently effective and was a winning quarterback. The running game, all three of the backs really hit it up in there, especially. And you can't say enough about Jeremy Langford. This kid, especially down on the goal line with Kadeem Carey, they were attacking the line of scrimmage. And the defense, say what you will, the pass rush, some of these guys, they're not very good, OB. We know it. But you know what? That kid, the muscle hamster, was leading the NFL right now, today. Right now, this minute, he leads the NFL in rushing, and we really took him completely out of the game.
Some of those running stats, just to back up what you're saying, Hamp, I mean, quite a day for Langford, 19 carries, 83 yards. It's almost 4.5 a carry. Forte was 11 for 54. That's almost 5 a carry. And Kadeem Carey, 7 for 16, which isn't great, just over 2. But Carey with the 1-yard rushing touchdown. And then he also caught a ball in the end zone from Cutler for TD. All three were extremely productive. Hamp and OB with Kaz, by the way, the start of the show, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group, sponsored by GinosEast.com. Yes, Kaz.
Well, what I was going to say beyond all of those other things, Dan Hampton requested that our middle linebacker, number 50, take a week off, which he chose to do, thank goodness.
It has been more peaceful watching the show.
And we saw Timu all of a sudden go in there, and by the way, two fumble recoveries. And it wasn't because he was taking on blocks and getting driven 8 yards down the field. He was attacking downhill, was in the mix and in position to fall on those fumbles and come out with the football. A completely different defense when you have two downhill inside backers that attack the line of scrimmage.
Which is unbelievable to me, because we've applauded all year the fact that Vic Fangio, nobody on this defense even sniffed a Pro Bowl nomination. But that being said, large parts of this season, they've played pretty darn good football. But especially today, with this young kid, John Timu. And I remember saying in the preseason, this kid, you've got it. You know, it's called instincts. And certain guys have it. And you know they can play. Other guys that look like Tarzan, like Christian Jones, you know, he's always making a bad step. Shea McClellan, first-round draft pick, doesn't know where the ball is. He's always going the wrong way. But this kid, Timu, the defense played its butt off. And that muscle hamster I'm talking about, folks, his name is Doug Martin, and he leads the NFL right now, this minute, in rushing. And they held him under 3 yards of carry when he was the only player in the NFL that had an over 5 yard per attempt coming into this game. So, yeah, it was an ugly game. It was like pillow fight bad. But you know what? Some good stuff. And as we talked last week, well, we've got a 2-game audition about who wants to be on this team next year. I think a bunch of these kids made a mark for themselves, especially that Jones Cordy. He made a bunch of plays.
He really did. For those who want to take it like a Bears fan, Chicago Tribune Sports Plus is for you. Get award-winning sports-only coverage, insights, and perks at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. 26-21, the Bears beat the Bucks. Lovie Smith goes down again to his former team. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, if you'd like to jump on. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz. What did you like out there today? Any feeling of love as the Bears get their sixth win on the season? We're brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
The onside kick is grabbed by Cameron Meredith, and this one is over. The Chicago Bears, who have played well on the road this season, come up with a 26-21 win.
Sam Rosen, Fox Sports, on the call. Got a couple things right today. Good day for Sam, I thought. Not everything, but hey.
A majority.
No.
He was throwing some darts that hit the wall.
It was a lot of cringe effect. It was him and Millen.
It was some roughness. OB, the Bears get a win today, 26-21, and we got one game left with the Lions at home. I know you have thoughts about how you want this season to end.
You know what? Here, congratulations again to the Bears. You know what? And to Cutler. You know, Cutler has done so many things, game after game. His attitude changed everything. I mean, that's a giant plus going into 2016, okay? And each year, you're not building for the future in football, folks. Again, you don't have 162 games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to get ready. Got 16 games. Now, we've got one game left. And after this game next week at home against Detroit, these guys won't basically hit anybody until the first exhibition game of 2016.
And even then, it'll be for one series.
Yeah. Now, here's my point. Cutler, great. I mean, Willie Young on defense, McPhee, just absolutely great. Great effort, fighting, clawing, doing everything. But, folks, my problem is this. It was in the fourth quarter when we finally threw the ball. By the way, Cutler escaping, juking around in the pocket to escape and hit Mariani for, what, a 20-yard pass?
25.
That's the first time on a scramble that we had a chance. The ball went over 20 yards. Every other pass is 3 yards, 4 yards, 6 yards, whatever have you. Play tough. Hope the defense gets some turnovers. And at the end of the game, hopefully we're in a point to win the game. That's not how you get to the Super Bowl. You don't play football like this game after game because you're not going to win the majority of them. You play tight like this for four quarters, and in the fourth quarter, it's got to come down to some kind of a miracle or Robbie Gould to kick a field goal, and you think you're going to get to the Super Bowl? That's impossible. And I know what I'm talking about. My God, loosen this game up. The rules dictate how to play this game. Stop playing little boy football. Let's play big man football. Let's attack. Let's go downfield. All day long, all you do, watch all the other games. What are these people doing? Firing the ball all over the place. Watch this game today.
Dink and dunk.
Dink and dunk, dink and dunk. Pray that we get a turnover. Oh, my God. And then we get down in the red zone. And again, folks, I think it was the 7-yard line. We're 3 downs. Not one time do we try a pass play into the end zone. I mean, come on.
If you were going to play the devil's advocate on it, though, OB, people would say they don't have the talent to do it.
Yeah, but it takes.
Oh, I don't want to hear that.
No,
don't
that's
even.
It. OB, let me explain something to you here. Here's the pink elephant in the room, or whatever you want to call it. We have an offense devoid of anything on the perimeter that would not only make a roster around the league, but start. Think about this. Mark Mariani, he caught that 25-yard pass late in the game. If he doesn't catch that, he catches one pass for, get ready, 7 yards. Eddie Royal, he was targeted and caught five passes. He averaged 4 yards a catch. The other receiver, Josh Bellamy, he caught 2 passes for 5 yards a catch. We don't have anybody that can get away from coverage.
But, Dan,
so rather than be stupid and force the issue and make, look at Cutler throwing stupid passes, they're saying, you know what? We know what we got. We're going to keep our hands in our pockets, and we're going to bang, bang, run, run, throw it to Zach Miller when we need to. And you know what? That's why they should not, and you're going to think I'm crazy, that's why you don't sign Alshon Jeffrey. We got to have somebody that will line up and play, and not somebody we can say, oh, well, he's good when he plays. We need 2 or 3 bona fide NFL receivers through hook or crook. Maybe Kevin White's one, but I'm telling you, I'm through waiting on Alshon to show up.
Yeah, no, I would agree, but I would say this, and Ed and I agree, but that's the reason they're doing it. But I get why, and part of it too, I think Adam Gase, let's don't kid ourselves, he would love to be a head football coach, and you can't go vertical, Ed, and prepare your team for maybe the future by going vertical, because you're trying to sell your wares as this genius coordinator who dinks and dunks and wins football games. So I think that's part of it too. But I agree with you, Ed.
I agree, Ed.
You're sitting at 5-9, throw caution to the wind, test Cutler's arm strength. We know he's had a great year. Let's see if he can throw that deep ball on a dime and drop it in there.
But Eddie Royal is in the end zone, and the ball hits him in the numbers, and he drops it for a touchdown. And,
you're right.
You know, the goofball announcer said, it's a bad. No, it was a brilliant throw, but Eddie Royal
caught
it
with his body.
He can't play for me anymore.
He can't. You got to catch with your hands.
We've been running the football, okay? All day today, okay? Again, we get down into the red zone, running the ball, dinking a pass, but running the ball. And that one time again, let's go back to that. Not one time did they go in the end zone. What a perfect time, folks, for you listeners out there, to go to play action. We've been pounding it down, running up the line, gaining yards, moving it down the field. What a time to come with play action. What a time to come with a bootleg. What a time to come with a sprint out and throw it to somebody that can get into the end zone. Now, we have receivers that have two legs, two arms, two hands, and they have two eyes.
You're right.
And you're meaning to tell me not one of them can get to the end zone?
You're right, Ed. No, look, I agree with you, and I understand what Dan's saying.
That was the perfect time to come with a play like that.
Go watch the field.
You're running the ball. And then you don't come with a play action
and,
or a bootleg.
And when you
get
a turnover.
Away from anyone.
Yeah, but Dan, when you get a turnover, rule of thumb football is you go over the top.
Of course.
You got momentum. You let one rip,
see,
and you try to make a play with it.
He's playing, smart as a fox. Oh, you're expecting that? I'm going to run the ball.
Hey, well,
right.
Hold it. Hold it, it keeps
you close. That's all it does.
Let's get back to what the hell this game is all about.
Winning.
It's winning, and it's winning the Super Bowl. Not 8-8, 9-7, or whatever it might be, okay? And playing little boy football is not going to get it done. We know we can win and stay in games like this. It's not like we won 10 games, guys.
Yeah,
won our sixth game with one game to go in the season.
It wasn't the Minnesota Vikings. It wasn't the New England Patriots. It wasn't the Carolina Panthers. If you're playing the Carolina Panthers, Dan, you little ball it because you want to stay and get close and try to get a chance. This was a horrible Tampa Bay team that you little balled with.
Just hold a second. A little here. Wait. You know, and Dan, and I got the philosophy is, and where I'm coming from. And again, I wind up talking in circles about this. My God, this is to go to the Super Bowl. We won a world championship in 63 and 85.
Last time they won it, I think it
was like 44, 45, or 46. This is the footing, the foundation of the National Football League of the Bears.
720 WGN.
Let's see what the flag is all about.
Personal foul, grabbing the face mask, defense. 15-yard penalty in the previous spot. Automatic first down to Chicago.
First and goal at the one. Three tight ends in. It's Kadeem Carey. Touchdown, Bears.
Yep, that was it. Our Mueller game-changing moment.
Huge play from the start to the finish on that play.
No doubt. No doubt.
I mean, Tampa gets the ball on the Bears 12. Yeah, because they returned it, too.
It was going to be, at bare minimum, a 10-0 game. It ends up being 7-7, and the Bears able to get into it from there. Hampton will be with Kaz, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. My name is Mark Harmon, Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich, Glenn Kozlowski, all with you here till 5:30. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. The Bears beat the Bucks 26-21. Yes, OB.
Well, you know, what I'm thinking about, maybe I look at football a little bit different than maybe Dan or Glenn here, or even our listeners. To me, it's all about, world champs. That's it. Nothing else matters. And we're talking about the offense, about trying to play big boy offense, okay? Moving the ball down the field. All right, we had the one pass play for 25 yards, which was a broken play. All the rest were dink dunks the whole game. We ran the football, et cetera. Now, we run from a four wide out, whatever. Whoever we have in the slot, when is the last time you saw somebody in the slot
cross
or a wide out come in motion from the strong to the weak side? When is the last time you've ever seen that? That is a part of offensive football. That is a part of attacking a defense. That is hard the defense against. Somebody coming in motion from the slot or the wideout. When was the last time you ever saw something like that?
Well, it hasn't happened this year.
My point is,
you're exactly right. But here's the point. Do you remember Thanksgiving? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? It was just a few weeks. The tight end.
Yes, I
and
did.
The three
but now after this game,
the tight end and these three receivers weren't playing. It was another group.
Right.
That's when you had Martellus Bennett starting, Alshon Jeffrey starting, you had Marquez Wilson starting. We've got Mariani, we've got Bellamy. These guys, they don't have the timing and precision of the training camp.
So that means
well, that's
we
where
should
the crossing
quit. We
route.
No,
them.
I agree. I'm all for it. Why don't they make them practice until they understand how to work the motion into the offense?
My point against something like that, Dan, is this, which I have mentioned two or three times this year. The New England Patriots went to the Super Bowl and won when 13 starters went down and out for the season. They had to replace 13 out of 22 starters, and they won the Super Bowl. So I'm not buying in any of that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's about design. It's about how you attack. And even this year you look at New England. They have the best record in the AFC, and they have a ton of injuries. And they have receivers you never heard of before, and none of those guys could start for the Bears. That's how bad they are. Yet they seem to figure out ways to cross pick and get guys open.
Okay,
why
about,
can't we think
about
of that?
6 weeks ago, the Patriots are on Monday Night Football, and they're talking about Gronkowski and Tom Brady. And Chris Collinsworth said, you know, we were out of practice. This is Saturday, day before the game, or whenever, Sunday, it was a Monday night game. He said, after the practice, and normally the day before the game, folks, it's just kind of shorts and socks and jocks run through. After everybody went in, Gronkowski and Brady threw about 30 different routes from the 8-yard line to make sure they knew exactly how to side adjust on all the different coverages. Do you think for 1 second that Martellus Bennett and Cutler ever did that?
No.
On a Sunday before a game or Monday, Saturday before Sunday. I'm just saying, our preparation, if we're going to try to get in the big boy leagues, we need better players, but we better practice better too.
Well, what's Dan, couldn't agree with you more. You know what? What else you got to do?
Exactly, and that goes back to John Fox and the coordinator saying, look, technically we can't tell you to stay out here on this field, but you know what? If you want to help us win, go out there and run 30 different routes from the 8-yard line, Alshon Jeffrey, all the different permutations. They know you're going to throw the back shoulder. They're going to be playing it. So what are you going to do? Are you going to do the out, up, or what are you going to do? The quick slant, blah, blah.
Right.
But we don't do that.
Right, but that's why we wallow
that's
in
why we're six and nine.
7 and 8 win seasons.
You know, if we talked about Adam Gase, you know, and Glenn, Danny, we're sitting here talking about, you know, that he interviewed for 8 teams last year to be a head coach and whatever have you, and he might be gone. I'm going to tell you this right now. I wouldn't miss him, and I'll tell you this. And if you're the GM of another team and an owner and you're looking for a new head coach and interviewing, I want to look at what that guy has done this year, last year, the year before. If he's so great, I want to take a look at what kind of a system has he been running. Okay? And again, why this is a passing league. Don't ever, ever forget it. And what you see out here, his game calling, I don't know, Glenn.
Screens, and I mean, he did it with Peyton Manning too.
Listen, if he's gone,
it's not innovative.
He ain't going to bother me.
It's all low, high percentage small ball,
right?
And you know what? Like you're saying, Ed, they changed the rules 5, 10, 20 years ago. It's time to get with them.
Okay, first of all, we got to do who brought it, but we'll do that in a second. I want to make the point. The Bears lost a game to the Niners they should have won. They lost a game to the Redskins they should have won. They could have beaten the Broncos.
They should have beaten the Broncos.
Poor coaching management
by the head coach.
If he kicks a field goal with 10 minutes to go, we win that game. We should have beat Detroit. We should have beat Minnesota the first game.
Right.
We blew them on John Fox.
Okay, that's 5 games. Now, let's just say Brandon Marshall is on this team, who everybody wanted out of town.
He'd have been hurt too. So,
well, Brandon Marshall,
because it wasn't a new contract he was playing for or a new city, so he would have been catching and getting in the fetal.
Well, I'm just making the point. The guy had 8 more catches today. That's 93 on the year. He's over 1,261 yards on the season. He's got 11 touchdowns. I'm sorry. If that guy's on this football team, and I know that he's better in his first year somewhere, okay, let's say he's 3/4 of that, and he's on the Bears. This team's in the playoffs, in my opinion.
Might be. Yeah, I mean, but Fox
Kevin
is still...
Kevin White would have changed everything this year, guys.
With his speed
and power,
right,
to make... It would have been threefold. Number one, he would have been the home run hitter we don't have, and that we got to have. Alshon isn't the home run hitter. You know what he is? he's Robin to Batman. When Marshall was getting doubled, Alshon was eating people alive because he can beat single.
Right.
But here's the other part. Kevin White would have been the home run hitter, but he would have made Alshon realize, hey, I'm not the number one anymore. I better bust my butt. This year, this whole season has been about Alshon positioning for a new contract. It's not about the Bears winning and losing. In my mind, it's about what's best for Alshon.
And he's out of here because of it.
That doesn't fly.
Well, right, but you would think along those lines, though, Hampy, he would want to be on the field, right?
He didn't want to get hurt, though.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I was talking to
Mike Mulligan today at Fox, and we're talking about this. The big deal now with these kids, cuz they don't want bad tape. What is bad tape? Bad tape is when you don't play well. And, if you're not 100%, you can't put a subtitle on there. Alshon's in this game, but he's only about 80%. No, they don't want to look like they're less than perfect.
Right.
So they'll take weeks and weeks and weeks off at the risk of hurting the team only because they don't want bad tape at contract time. And that's sickening, and that's got to stop, and it's got to stop from the head coach. And if you give Alshon Jeffrey a $40 million contract, guess what? You're going to get more of it.
Well, we'll see what they do with Alshon. I'm guessing the franchise tag. But here, we could talk more about that.
Why would you franchise tag him?
312-981-7200, because you don't want to give him a long-term deal.
One year you could buy him and see what he does with Kevin White next year.
312-981-7200. Who brought it today? Sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring, Hamp. You got this one.
Oh, that's our mystery back, Jones Quartery. Corte, they were calling him today. Number 29. He forced a fumble. He ripped a ball away for an interception, and he recovered a fumble. This kid was everywhere, and I'm saying, where's he been all year, OB? This kid should have been playing instead of Przinski.
He started
53, Ben.
Well, exactly, and Vic Fangio is such a smart guy. These guys have been sitting over there on the sidelines with him watching teams drive on us.
Yeah, waiting to get their opportunity to show that they can play.
HJQ, Harold Jones Quartey, Corte started week 5, week 6, Kansas City and Detroit. This was his third start of the year today. And I'm with you. The guy was impressive.
He was a playmaker.
312-981-7200. Get to your calls. David in a car. I know you've been waiting patiently. We'll get to you in a second.
Yeah, we're going to get to your callers. How did number 50 get a concussion?
Because Hamp asked him to, for the betterment of the team, just don't play this week.
He got a new cell phone for Christmas. He dropped it as he reached over to get it. A little girl was reaching over at the same time. They bumped heads, and then, it's a happy ending.
It was an 8-year-old little girl too, and she had a really hard head.
And they had to take him out.
Yes, the little girl's fine. She's fine. She went right back and got a.
When you drop something, two people like
she had a little
train. Hold on a second.
She had a juice box, and she was.
Boy,
fine.
Am I glad I asked that question.
Yeah,
Jesus,
that put the show in a good light. Hamp and OB with Kaz. We're here for you till 5:30 today. 312-981-7200. We're brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago. It's 720 WGN.
And gets rid of it up for grabs, and it's pulled away by Jones Corte. He out-muscled him for the ball. The rookie Harold Jones Corte in his third NFL start with the interception.
It's again Sammy Rosen. Standing the test of the time, test of time. Thank you on the call. 720 WGN, courtesy of Fox Sports. Hamp and OB with Kaz, 312-981-7200. We got the defensive star of the game coming up in a matter of moments. But let's check in on the phone lines, 312-981-7200. David in a car wants to talk about the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, which is a very interesting conversation. David, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Hi, it's David Spader here. I just want to say, Jay Cutler, I mean, I think he might have a little value now. We got to unload him, get whatever he can, because we know what he is. He's an average quarterback, and with the quarterback play in this league, I think someone might give us a fourth, fifth-round pick. Let's just get a quarterback who might take us to the next game. And another thing I want to say, OB, I have a deep respect for you. I talked to Forrest Gregg, and he said that when you found that he had Parkinson's, you wrote him this beautiful letter, and it's one of his most prized possessions, how you really care about him and wish him the best. And again, people don't know what a great guy you are, OB.
Well,
we know what a great guy he is, though, Dave.
Thank you for the call, David.
And you are correct on that. Now, Cutler, there's probably 24 teams that right now that would take Jay Cutler because he's better than 24 of the 32 starters in the league.
Right.
That means there's seven guys better than him, so he's on the high end. Why would you get rid of a guy that's on the top end?
Hey, David, here's where I'll take issue with you. 32 teams, obviously 32 quarterbacks. There are not 32 top-flight quarterbacks in this league. And I put Jay Cutler in that tier. He is one of the, well, let's say maybe 7, maybe 10, I think maybe 10, 12 quarterbacks that can take you to Super Bowl. We've got them. You know, there's other ways that we can get to the Super Bowl. And I don't know where at this particular time you would go and find a quarterback. And if you got him in the draft, Dave, that is really being lucky.
I mean, OB, though.
Let me just say this.
Go ahead.
And, you know, everybody is looking for a quarterback. And this kid's still got 5 years. But here's the point, David. There were 6 quarterbacks that were selected to the Pro Bowl. Was Cutler one of those? No, he wasn't. But you know what? He was real close. He was in the next tier. I mean, breathing on those 6. Out of those 6, 2 of them played the morning games at 12 o'clock. Both of them lost. I'm just saying, be careful what you wish for, because Tom Brady and Cam Newton, all that, well, both of them lost. I'm just saying, you can't put everything on the quarterback.
Again, Dave, just quickly again, there's just really not 32 Super Bowl quarterbacks playing in this league. We've got Cutler. He's made a dramatic and drastic change over from just an absolute pill, horrid
risk,
pill,
right,
to a man, to a leader, showing some common sense. He's into the game. He's making things happen, keeping plays alive. This is the guy we need to get to the Super Bowl. And believe me, when you listen to me over all these years I've been doing it, there's only one reason why you play this game, okay, to be a world champion. Nothing less.
32 years old, Jay Cutler, and when you say that, it sounds kind of old, but then you look at the season.
Not in the NFL.
Right. Carson Palmer is 36, and he's in the MVP, you know, conversation.
He probably would have won the MVP this year if Cam didn't just play off the charts. But think about that. Tom Brady and is 37, and Carson Palmer is 36.
Right.
And – I mean, really, look around the league. Is anybody, you know, okay, Russell Wilson's playing pretty good. Cam's playing pretty good. I'm just saying, it's possible. We got 5 more years of Cutler. I'm just saying, be careful what you wish for. Here's the other thing. When everybody was screaming, you know, whoa, let's get rid of Lovey, and I said, okay, fine. Who you going to get? Who you going to get?
Right.
Well, we went and got Mark Trestman. How'd that work out?
Same thing with Cutler, Ham's point, obviously. Who's going to play quarterback,
guys,
if you get rid of him?
But remember this. Cutler was an MCL sprain away from taking this team to the Super Bowl, and the Green Bay Packers beat us by a touchdown in that game that we had the lead while Cutler was still out on the field. And, oh, by the way, they won the Super Bowl 2 weeks later, that Green Bay Packer team. So he has gotten us to the championship game.
To the cusp.
Yeah, and tore his MCL. But that happens. That wasn't his fault.
Right, but he's also only won one playoff game. Hey, real fast, the defensive star of the game brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hamp, who's our defensive
star? It's got to be Harry. Harry Jones Corte.
Or Timu, too. I mean, either one of both those kids, you know, where have they been? Hey, why haven't they been out on the field?
Christian Jones played today. He was knocking folks around. And you know,
Anderson.
When you showed up in the league and you were watching receivers, Kaz, you learned, watch the guy, like Wes Welker, how he did things. Well, it looks like these other inside linebackers, they're like watching Timu going, oh, that's how you do it.
Start at the 4 o'clock hour. We'll hear from the head coach of the Chicago Bears, perhaps, 312-981-7200. Bears beat the Bucks 26-21. You're listening to Hamp and OB with Kaz, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Well, it's coming. Rod Forrest.
Hamp. Dan Hampton.
Kaz, I can't take
OB.
It.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, Kaz.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears.
This is the Chevy Hemp and OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Only 1.5 shows left. We got 3 o'clock next week with the Lions and the rest of today with you till 5:30 on 720 WGN. Thank you for being along. 312-981-7200. OB?
Yeah, you talk about Lions will be coming here, and I'm sure they're not going to play dead when they come in here.
No, probably not.
You know, they have some weapons. They move the ball down the field. Let's see if we can match them and go out a winner, but in a good fashion, in a fashion that everybody, that these all the greatest fans on this planet want to see. And I hope it happens.
Greatest fans on the planet deserve more, obviously, than a 7-9 season, even if they get the win next week. 312-981-7200, which, of course, we've been talking about, trying to elevate this team from 7-9, 9-7, whatever status, to an actual Super Bowl.
Well, I predicted them to start the year 6-10 was my number, and I'm confident they'll probably hit right on that number.
Gold star for Kaz.
Oh, I'm not looking for a gold star. I just, you know, it is what it is.
No, I know you're not.
The worst part is they really could have won 5 games, but here's the problem. Today, perfect example. We take the lead for the first time. We're up 5, right? 19-14. 11:48 to go in the fourth quarter. We just score. Well, we celebrate in the end zone. We act like goofs, and then they take the longest time getting off the field, and we kick the extra point. Now, doesn't coaching sense jump in and say, hey, let's go for 2? Because now you're up 7? I mean, I agree with you. I don't get it. It's bizarre, some of the decisions that they make. And it's, you know, it's common sense. Look, you win 25-20 today, or 26-20, or 28-21. Those 2 points are huge at the end of the game.
Glenn, in that first half, I'm going to tell you something. I told Mark, the Bears just set us up to lose the game in the second half. We're down there twice in the red zone, and we don't get a touchdown. We settle for 2 field goals.
And call plays that don't even give you a chance to score.
13-7. They come out in the third quarter. They score, kick an extra point. They're beating us 14-13. But guess what? Bears got every break, every penalty, not only in the first half, throughout the game. And we were losing in the third quarter 14-13. Why? Because you're down there in the red zone and you don't try to score a touchdown. You settle for 2 field goals. That's what happened, folks.
Right.
That actually happened.
Hemp and OB sponsored by GenosEast.com and sponsored by Parent Petroleum as we start the 4 o'clock hour. Along those lines, let's hear from the head coach. The locker room interviews are sponsored by Motorworks. Nobody works like Motorworks to earn your business. Here's the head coach of your Chicago Bears, John Fox.
All right, just on the injury front, Eddie Goldman left the game with an ankle, did not return, and Matt Forte left the game with a back, did not return. Any questions? Well, I mean, it's one of the more critical statistics other than winning or losing. You know, I think we were +3 on the day. You know, I think all of them were rookies. You know, I think Jonathan Anderson was responsible for one. Timu recovered. I think Timu forced the other one. And then Harold Jones-Cordy had the one interception. It was key. That was down in minus territory. So, you know, those were always big to be on that side of the turnover margin. And that helped us win today. You know, I mean, as I told you, I never had any doubts. You know, this team has responded pretty well. You know, last week was not one of our better performances. They knew it better than any of us standing here. You know, so I like the way they responded. The game didn't start real smooth. You know, they blocked the punt, went in for, you know, an early touchdown, and, you know, our guys just kept clipping away, and, you know, I liked our toughness. Well, I mean, you know, again, he was a guy that obviously we thought well enough to pick up late in the claiming process. You know, he did play and start earlier in the season. You know, Chris Brzezinski stepped in, did a good job, kind of owned the spot for a minute. And then I think, you know, it was time to give Harold another shot, and I thought he did good.
What did you see out of him?
Well, I think, he had zip. You know, he was fresh. This point in the season, you get worn down a little bit. It's a long season. But he had a great week of preparation. I saw him improve. He got better just in practice. We get to watch him every day. So I was proud of the young man, the way he performed. I know it was a great pick. You know, he played the ball well in that one. But he'll just continue to get better.
What was the key to eliminating the penalties and the other mistakes
that hurt you in offense? Yeah, we made the same penalties. Our first three possessions, we had three holding penalties. So I think, we just did a better job of overcoming them, responding to negative stuff. Penalties is always part of it. Well, it's not new to us, all right? I mean, it's not the first opportunity we've had in that situation. But, like I said, Jay's done a great job. He doesn't care who's out there. And, our coaching staff's done a great job getting guys ready, spur of the moment. Eddie Royal was sick today, really, really sick. So he was in and out of there. Wasn't, an injury, but it was, he was pretty sick. But I think, it's a kind of a tribute to our players. They just keep hanging in there. They don't look for excuses. It's next man up, and we just keep fighting through it. I think we feel it. Those guys feel it. We're getting there. We need to improve. They know it, but they're still trying to finish this year well. And we've got one more game. Try to avoid a double-digit losing season. I don't really call guys out. Just say we didn't execute very well. All right, thank you.
There you go, John Fox down in Tampa Bay. Standard John Fox, not calling guys out. I don't have any problem with – he shouldn't be getting up in front of the media and saying this guy sucks.
Yeah, calling people out. No, but I at least say something. Say something of truth. Say something of substance.
Well, he's given a lot of credit, though, to guys for keeping with the fight. How does that resonate in this room? Do you see that, Ham?
Well, absolutely. We didn't see it in the second half against the Minnesota Vikings last week. We just fell apart in little pieces. But one of the reasons that the Bears were able to win today was in that three-game losing streak, and we could go back and document it, but we were giving up an average of 55% on third down. Now, what that means is you're giving them way too many chances to come back, line up at first down, and keep attacking you. Today, we held them to 25% on third down conversions. So those are little stats, little wins, little victories that create the situation where you can get your defense off, get your offense back out on the field. But more than anything else, this, what he said about Jay Cutler is back to your point, OB. Jay Cutler is playing with the guys that he's got. And a month ago, we had how many different receivers tied in, involved in the offense, and then now it's a whole new group. So even more reason to say Cutler has not only matured, but is managing this whole new crop of wide receivers that nobody figured would be thrown to a month ago.
312-981-7200. Let's take a Cutler call from Charlie in Oak Lawn on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, great show. I agree Cutler's done a lot better this year, and I'm really glad to see that. But what do you think we need to get Cutler even better, like get him like a Jim McMahon or a Bill Wade-type quarterback in the future? So I would like to see that.
Thanks,
well, statistically,
Charlie.
He's better than both of those guys. But look, Dan said it best. You need a guy that can stretch the defense, that can go over the top, and Cutler can air it out, and the guy can run it down and catch it. You need a no-show Jeffrey that actually shows up every once in a while and plays, and then you're really effective because you have the big guy that can get the one-on-one coverage in Jeffrey, and then you have White, who can go vertical, a big kid, and he could catch the deep ball. So really, you got to get a little better up front. You got to have a better center. I would love to see. It's going to shock me that I'm saying this. I'd like to see Kyle Long go back to guard, where he's an All-Pro, Slosson in there, and make a little change at tackle. So tackle and center are two positions you can improve on. And offensively, I think you're there with just guys being healthy.
Out of the corner of our eye, we're watching the Green Bay Packer-Arizona Cardinal game. And the Arizona Cardinals are eating them alive with underneath crossing routes. And that's something OB is screaming about in the room
forever.
Every week, forever. But one reason why those crossers are working, because Arizona has a receiver by the name of John Brown that's the fastest guy in the league. Somebody to keep those safeties way back to where it gives you room underneath for those crossers. We ain't got nobody to stretch defenses. That's why the safeties are setting on the inside crossers.
But it's still the call of the play, Dan. And again, I mentioned at the beginning of this program, one of the things offensively that you can do, folks, you study the game and you know this game, there's things. We put nobody in motion. We let that defense sit. They come up upon us, and they go after us. We do nothing. We don't put from the slot, again, a wideout. We put nobody in motion. When's the last time you saw crossing ends, which I've been talking about, for 15 weeks? When do we do a fly pattern? When do we do these things? This is part of the passing game, and I don't care if we don't have guys that run 40-yard dash in 4.1.
Yeah, you could still pick across, right?
Absolutely. It's the plays. Sometimes it's not the speed. It's not this. It's the call. It's the plays. We don't see in motion. We don't see crossing ends like you think every team we play, like they don't see that.
Well, the one time we did run a takeoff today, it was our tight end, and he was unable to make an adjustment to the ball. He's not a wide receiver. That's a play you want a wide receiver to be able to make. We don't have any wide receivers that they feel confident enough to call that play.
Stan, I still disagree with you.
Well, I think you could find them, though. I agree with that. Look, there's so many guys out there that could
But they're not on our team.
Right, and that's where Pace has
Josh Bellamy's going to run a takeoff. Well,
Ryan Pace has to bite the bullet and figure out how to get
Dan,
a couple
of you can't shut an
guys.
Offense down. Because you don't have somebody who can run a 100-yard dash in 2 seconds.
You could pick.
Okay?
You could pick.
You've got a game plan. And the things that people do, motion, just all the things I just said, we do nothing like that, folks. Nothing. And we just won our sixth game. These kids have bought into it. But that's not how you get to the promised land. I'm telling you, that's not the way to go.
All right, quick timeout. We're going to hear from Jay Cutler coming back. John Brown, you mentioned in Arizona, he was 91st, the third-round pick, 91 overall in 2014. The Bears, at 82, took Will Sutton. Who would you rather have?
Well, John Brown, obviously. But, I could do that all day.
Will Sutton.
Over John Brown?
No, I don't even want to go. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. He wants Will Sutton running a coat drive with Shea McClellan.
Yes, and they could both be really – they're great young men. That's the best way to describe both of them.
Hamp and OB with Kaz, 312-981-7200. We're brought to you by Chevy, drivechicago.com, 720 WGN. The Blackhawks look to deliver a few gifts versus the Carolina Hurricanes at the United Center. The action starts tonight at 6 on WGN-TV. And, of course, you can listen to the game starting with the pregame at 5:30 right here on WGN Radio. My name is Mark Harmon. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz, 312-981-7200. Adam Hogue will be with us after the 4:30 news. But real quick, let's check in with the Bears quarterback, Jay Cutler.
Yeah, it's difficult, especially I think against a defense like this. You know, they're going to be a lot of cover two, keep things in front of them even when they're playing a single high. So we knew going into this game it was going to kind of be a dink and dunk, and if we get some plays on the outside, get them. But we wanted to run the ball efficiently and try to beat them in the fourth quarter and make some plays. Yeah, I mean, I've practiced against his defense enough, and, you know, you kind of just have to have that going into it, you know, and a play caller has to do a good job of kind of putting those positions, and I think Adam did all day long of not getting greedy at all and just saying, hey, we're going to be methodical and just kind of, if it gets boring, it's boring, but that's how we have to do it. We didn't have a lot of opportunities anyway. Coverage-wise, the few times we got man, it was kind of in the game. We're trying to burn out the clock a little bit. So we just weren't getting a lot of opportunities even if we wanted to be honest with you. Uh, I don't know. I mean, it's not a significant amount, I think, that's going to make that big of a difference. And there's so many new guys on this team. You know, there's so much turnover in a good way. I think Ryan and Fox, you're doing a great job of bringing the right guys in this locker room. Coaching staff's doing a good job of putting in some position each and every week. We just got to keep continuing to get better.
So there you go, Jay Cutler. OB, does that make you feel better at all as he's talking about Tampa's defense and they don't allow you to go down the field?
Well,
I don't want to poke at the bear here, but that's what he said.
Tampa, too. Actually, what you're playing against is nine guys, and it showed. These guys don't come up. They don't tackle. So that running game, that's what you do. When you play a guy like Lovie Smith with his defense, you're playing with nine, not 11. That's not a mystery.
Right. Well, seems like Cuddy's super on board with what's going on around the program right now, more than he ever has been. Anybody, would you? I mean, you wouldn't disagree with that, would you, Hamp? That this is his most comfortable spot that he's ever been as a Chicago Bear?
So far, so good. And again, with the cast of receivers that he is being asked to go out there and go to war with, he's making the most out of the chicken salad.
Yep. All right. We'll get to Adam Hogue right after the 4:30 news. Craving Geno's East legendary deep dish pizza, handmade with their famous buttery, flaky crust, loaded with the freshest ingredients, then topped with a flavorful sauce. Bring the family to Geno's East, 10 locations in Chicagoland. They are closer than you think. Try the favorites like the meaty legend, the Chicago Fire, or their signature patty-style sausage. If you can't make it to them, of course, Geno's East will come to you. Order pizza delivery to your home or ship this iconic Windy City legend nationwide. For delivery zones and info, visit genoseast.com. Down to Tampa to talk to Adam Hogue. We go after the 4:30 news on 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN. Oh!
720 WGN, Bears 26, the Bucks 21. Victory, win number 6 is in the books. Going down to Tampa as we move along in our post-game show, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The injury report is brought to you by the Rogers Auto Group in the new South Loop. Let's bring in our guy, Adam Hogue, who does a phenomenal job covering the Bears. You can read him at WGNRadio.com. Go to sports. Go to the Adam Hogue Bears blog. Adam, let's start with Harold Jones-Quarty, who started his third game of the year and I think was kind of the story of the game today. Somebody that maybe you could look at could be, I'm not going to say a fixture, but certainly could be a part of the team going forward. He was super impressive.
He really was. And let me tell you a little bit about his background and his story. It's pretty incredible, but the guy grew up in Ghana. He lived there for 9 years and moved to Columbus, Ohio when he was 9. He didn't even really play true high school football because his high school didn't have a football team. He played for a ministry football team called the Columbus Crusaders. He ends up at Finley, which is a D2 school, as a wide receiver, switches to safety. And not only did he not get drafted this year, but he wasn't even signed immediately by an NFL team. He had to go to a rookie mini camp, which if you've ever been to a rookie mini camp, you know that most of those guys, maybe one or two even ends up on a training camp roster, and almost nobody ends up making a 53-man roster. So it's been an uphill battle for him at this point. You might remember that earlier this season, he got an opportunity to start for Antrell Roll. And he ended up getting benched after the Detroit game. I don't know if you remember the specific play, but he got beat by Calvin Johnson in overtime. Really the big play that cost him that game. And he got benched after that. So he took it personally. He's been working on it. Came back today, got another opportunity, and played very well.
Hey, the other guy, John Timu, is a kid that also an interesting story, right? He had some visa issues and wasn't able to stay for a bit, correct?
I don't know that story, but I'm sure if you're bringing it up, it's true.
Well, no, I mean that's what I was told, that there were some issues that had basically kind of kept him on the sideline, and then got it all worked out, and then clearly, what a jump up in downhill play by an inside backer when the kid's on the field. He goes downhill and gets the ball carrier.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, you said he played at Finley. In Ohio, and D2, and what they're in D2 now, but they used to be in the NAIA, and that school, that's not the first one to be in the NFL from that school. They play pretty darn good football for being a D2 school. They really do. Like Carson Newman, Hillsdale, etc. Those people play some pretty good football.
Yeah, let's give the coaching staff a little bit of credit too. Harold Jones-Cordy said that he saw that on his interception today of Jameis Winston. He said he saw that exact same throw multiple times in practice this week, and he actually intercepted it twice in practice. So he was ready for it. But what he said was he couldn't believe Jameis Winston actually threw that football. And I think we were all surprised when that ball got put in the air because it was not a great decision.
I thought he was throwing it away. But back to Timu, here's another kid. I mean, what did Fox say about him? Here's a kid 2 weeks in a row now. One of the few guys that I have seen this year that attacked Adrian Peterson and tackled him behind the line of scrimmage, because it doesn't happen very often. Now, they always had a penalty when he did it, but he was the one guy doing it.
Yeah, and Timu's story is similar in the sense that he also got an opportunity earlier this season, but was sort of put on the sideline. He actually got put all the way back on the practice squad. So he kind of had to go through this process of just proving himself in practice and then ultimately getting a late season shot and having the opportunity to prove himself. Now, one thing that John Fox said about both of those guys after the game was that they're a little bit fresher. You know, you go through the grind of a season and they haven't been out there taking the hits all year. So it's allowed them to kind of bring an extra spark to that defense. And really, these guys want playmakers, and that's a huge thing. Even on Adrian Amos, the rookie safety out of Penn State, he's had a solid rookie year. But I can tell you that this Bears coaching staff would like to see him make more plays on football. He did have one pass breakup today, but he probably should have intercepted that ball. So those are kind of game-changing type plays they want to see from these young guys. And you just look at John Timu, Harold Jones-Cordy, and Jonathan Anderson, three undrafted rookies that forced fumbles today, recovered fumbles, and it got an interception.
Yeah, Timu handed the ball to Fox on the second one. He ran over and gave it to him, which I thought was hilarious. He hands
which
it to
is basically saying, hey, I've been sitting over there
here you go.
For 13 weeks. Finally, I'm showing you I can play. Hey, let me ask you a question. We were talking about this and the impotency of this offense where, okay, it was patience, grind, handoff, dink and dunk, all that stuff. I'm looking at the three wideouts stat sheet. Your three wide receivers. Eddie Royal caught 5 passes for 20 yards. That's a 4-yard average. Josh Bellamy caught 2 passes for 10 yards. That's a 5-yard average. And Mariani caught that one ball on late in the game for a first down for 25 yards. You take that away, he had one catch for 7 yards. I'm just saying, this offense, it's embarrassing when your wide receivers are averaging basically 5 yards a catch.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that it wasn't pretty today. But if you listen to Jay Cutler after the game, you know, he kind of just has to put his hands up in the air and be like, I mean, what else are we supposed to do? There's not much help right now at the wide receiver position. And this is sort of this weird dynamic we've seen all year with, we talked about it last week after they lost to the Vikings. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey can't stay on the field, but when he's not on the field, you realize how badly they need him. So I don't know how you handle that in the offseason in terms of his contract.
Cut him loose.
Probably. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't see a scenario where he's on a different team next year. I think it's either they somehow miraculously come to an agreement or he's a franchise tag. He's just too important in this offense, even if he can't stay healthy.
Hey, Adam, I'd just like to go back something. Excuse me, that you said about Fox. Fox said these two guys are like fresh because the rest of the team is like getting worn out. This was the 15th game. Okay? The 15th game. And he said that his team is getting worn out. These two guys came in fresh, and that's why they're playing the way they're playing. If, in fact, what he said he believes is true, get out of the game. Get out of the game. You think you'd ever hear that from somebody in Green Bay, somebody in New England, somebody in Denver? Words come out, well, they were fresh because the rest of the guys have been playing and they're worn out.
Yeah, I mean,
think about what I just said. That's unbelievable.
Well, and I don't necessarily think Fox needs to get out of the game, but maybe the guys who are getting worn down need to get out of the game. And that's, you know, that's the process they're going through right now. They're trust me, they're looking at those guys that you're talking about, OB, that aren't fresh, that aren't able to finish the season. There's been plenty of them. And if you're not reliable, you're probably going to be out of the game. Well, they're going to make a ton of off-season decisions.
Yeah, but then you're telling me that no-show Jeffries is going to be the guy that they're going to franchise. And I get why. I see how he's important. Yeah. But I just find it so hard to believe, Adam, because I think you add Kevin White to this offense and you find another tall wide receiver and you got Jeffrey covered. Truthful.
Well, I don't know.
I just don't see it in this kid.
I understand the frustration. I'm going off of what I think is going to happen.
Right, I understand
whether we agree with it or not.
What about the logic that if Brandon Marshall's on this football team, they make the playoffs?
I hate that logic. I don't think it's true at all. This
typical
guy
Mark Carmen logic, though, Adam.
No,
that's why.
I know.
Adam's got a bias against Brandon because he covered Brandon, and Brandon was not a joy to cover.
I think Adam and I are in the same boat. Look, he goes to a new city, he plays hard for a year, and then he becomes Brandon Marshall again. So
honestly, Carmen, check back with me after next season.
Yeah, let's see what he does in New York.
And if he, especially in New York, in that culture, if he's not causing locker room problems next year, then maybe you have a point. But they identified very quickly that they did not want Brandon Marshall on the team. He wasn't the kind of guy they wanted in the locker room. And honestly, I think if you ask the coaching staff, maybe ask Ryan Pace, they would maybe tell you that I know they only have 6 wins, but maybe they only have 5 if they had Brandon Marshall on the team. They just did not like him.
And look, you're not seeing Bennett out there either, and I don't care what anybody says. He is a non-issue. I'm not even sure. Does he even show up to meetings and practices anymore? Because he's not even mentioned.
I'm not going to give in, but I should let it die. But the guy's 1,261 yards, 11 touchdowns.
Mark, you could go fly out and wash his car tonight, okay? We'll let you do it. Don't worry.
It's not a bad gig. I might consider doing that. Adam, anything to, as you leave us today, you're going to be writing a ticket on Harold Jones Court. You seem like that's a great angle for today.
Yeah. I'll kind of expound on what I was telling you guys. It's a pretty good story. As far as the injuries go, significant day of injuries today. Jarvis Jenkins left the game, was carted off, so that could be significant.
Yeah, that's not good.
Matt Forte did not finish the game because of a back issue. He kept getting stretched out on the sideline, could not come back in. And then Hronas Grisou, who I know has been beat up, and rightfully so. He hasn't played all that well and had another holding penalty today. But he gutted it out and was able to get back in the game with the left knee injury. Boy, that looked like it might be a season ender. I know there's only one game left, but I was looking at that as a pretty crucial injury if it was severe, because this guy, as we've talked about, needs to be healthy this offseason so he can get stronger. He can't be dealing with a knee injury, and the fact he was able to get back in was a good sign.
It's a very good point, and thinking about that, if Forte's back doesn't come around, that means he probably has played his last game as a Bear. Great stuff, Adam. Always appreciate it, and we'll read you WGNradio.com.
All right, see you guys.
There you go, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam Hogue down in Tampa. Always a good job. 312-981-7200. We can get to a couple calls. I'm also going to give you guys a trivia question coming back here.
Is it going to be a long one?
No. Thank you. Right to the point, and we'll also do the drive of the game. All of that straight ahead, 720 WGN.
We will get to the callers, right?
Yes, we will, OB. Okay. Always and forever. 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com.
There's Martin. He stopped right at the line of scrimmage. Good job up front.
There comes Baldwin.
Ball came out. Bears come out with the ball.
Timu.
John Timu, the linebacker, has the football. The play fake. Cutler throws to Carey. Touchdown. The Bears regain the lead. Kadeem Carey's first receiving touchdown of the season.
One of the key parts of today's game in which the Bears beat the Buccaneers 26-21. My name is Mark Harmon. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz on 720 WGN. All right, you guys ready for my trivia question? Willie Young was going for a sack today for the sixth consecutive game, which would have been a Bears record. Now, he didn't get it. Did have a couple tackles for loss and another productive day for Willie Young, who should be back here next year and probably in a more prominent role. Who in Bears history joins Willie Young as Bears to record a sack in five consecutive games? What two former Bears?
Steve McMichael's one of them for sure.
Yeah.
That's correct. 19, you want to guess on the years that he did that, Ham?
82 or 83,
and the other one in 91, which is pretty impressive considering at the end of his career. The other guy did it in 2000. Anybody?
I have no idea. In 2000.
Rosie Colvin?
It's not Rashawn Salaam, Rick Easer, or Brian Urlacher who did it in 2000.
So, oh, that's right. That would make sense.
So those are sure. those are your only two Bears to ever have a sack in five consecutive games. OB.
Whoa.
Go
that's
ahead.
Fine. I could tell you there's several more.
Yeah, they just didn't count them as sacks at one point.
Exactly.
I think
Doug
Buffone might have had like 30 sacks one season. They just didn't count them.
He had 18. You know, because that's when we blitzed a lot, Glenn.
Right.
We went after people.
We should mention, and we love the Chicago Tribune very much, and they do a phenomenal job. But in the pictures of you don't want me to mention that, OB?
No.
Okay, I'll leave that alone. Never mind.
Just leave that situation alone.
Okay. Yeah. There was just a wrong picture up there this week. I'll leave it at that. Yeah. Okay, moving along. Drive of the game, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click patrickcars.com. Drive of the game. Who wants it, team? Hampo?
It'd have to be the drive after it was the game-changing moment of the game when the defensive corner was called for the face mask against Mark Mariani.
Right.
And we got the ball back and got 15 yards, and we went down the field and actually punched the ball in with the wonderful dive play to Kadeem Carey to tie the game at 7-7.
Kadeem Carey running hard today, running hard all season long.
Langford, too. Look, the problem for Matt Forte, and I love him. He's been one of the classiest true professionals in the last dozen years for the Chicago Bears. But you have two young guys that are playing well, and you're going to have to make a financial decision on that one, and it's probably not going to go in his favor.
And Forte's basically begging to come back and willing to do it for less than market value.
Well, if you could get him for that, I would bring him
back.
Well,
I'm going to tell you something. Management, but along with the coaching staff, they've got a lot of problems coming up, all right? Whether, you look at Kyle Long. Do you keep him out of tackle? I don't think he can play tackle. He can't play left tackle. He won't be able to play right tackle. And to keep him, trying to force feed him, he's going to play a right tackle. You're hurting your football team. You put him back at right guard. That's
where he's an all pro. And he's an all pro.
That's a decision that has to be made. Quit trying to force feed the kid to have him out there. It's not working.
It seems like they're actually going to either leave him at right or maybe even move him over to left tackle. We'll see.
It's not working.
OB, you know what we got to do right now?
Get to calls.
I don't have a clue.
We got to go to the calls. Don't you want to go to the calls?
Fine.
There we go. John in Streamwood on 720 WGN. Go ahead, John.
Hi, guys. Listen, the Bears have a 5-3 record on the road, 1-6 at home. No other team in the NFL has a winning record on the road and such a bad record at home. Is there a reason for this? Aren't you supposed to play more charged up at home?
Yeah, you're supposed to.
It's a good
John.
Question.
I think part of it is, like Ed has said, scared to death football. And when you're offensively playing that way, sure, it puts you in a position to maybe make a play late, but you got to have a little luck to it. Or you can take destiny in your own hands and play big boy football and attack people, especially at home, and swing momentum to your favor.
Hey, John, coming from the Thursday night game, Thanksgiving in Green Bay. Great win, coaching staff, players, for the Bear fans. It was unbelievable. And then to come back and play against your next two games are at home and
San
play
Francisco.
Lousy football teams that we should have put away. Okay, what did we do? We didn't go after him. I mean, it was we didn't go after him. We were so lethargic. Remember our no-huddle offense, the hurry-up offense? If you remember the game, they went back to what they were doing last year, looking to the side. I don't know what the hell went on here.
Watching that game with you, I honestly think you knew it was coming. Like, you went into that game knowing that they were going to not come out the same way.
You know what? History here, the last couple decades or so, when we're playing at home and it's an important game, like those two were coming off that victory in Green Bay.
Yeah,
we lose.
Right.
We lose. We lost the playoff game at home to Green Bay. You know something? We just I'm so damn tired of saying this. You've got to go after people. You've got to establish a defense, and you're not going to do it with a bend break, an offense that dink dunk. You're not going anywhere, folks. You're just not.
312-981-7200. Take a bunch more calls in the 5 o'clock hour. Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich, jeffvuk.com, serving our area for 37 years. Nationwide is on your side, jeffvuk.com. The Bears with one win at home all season. It's hard to believe. Get a chance for number two next week with the Lions. Quick timeout. Get your calls in the 5 o'clock hour, 720 WGN.
The onside kick is grabbed by Cameron Meredith, and this one is over. The Chicago Bears, who have played well on the road this season, come up with a 26-21 win.
The farmer, Sammy Farm Fox, is correct. The Bears finished the season 5-3 on the road. One more home game to try to get to 2-6 at Soldier Field. Just talked about that. The Bears not playing particularly well at home. Hamp, and that's being kind. Hamp and OB with Kaz is brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com, 312-981-7200.
Let me just say something real quick to these folks about on home. When we played the Packers in the opener, the Green Bay Packers, by virtue of the fact that they went out to Seattle in the championship game and beat them to death and then let that game fall and slip away. Remember that?
Yep.
And then Seattle is in a dogfight with the Patriots and wind up losing. You know, you do like a little crazy math, you could say, well, the Packers should have, coulda, woulda, and the opener, they looked pretty good and they came in here and they beat us. Well, as you pointed out, 4 weeks ago, we went to Green Bay and beat them. That may not be such a big deal now. I'm looking up here, and I'm seeing the Arizona Cardinals take the Packers completely apart at the joints. They're up 24-0, 3 minutes expired in the third quarter. So this is going to get a lot worse for the Cheeseheads.
Well, and let's, you know, with the season obviously coming to a near end here, one more week to go. Carolina loses today on the road at Atlanta, so you will not have an undefeated team going into the playoffs. But, I mean, Arizona's been incredibly solid all season long. You got the Panthers, and then you've got New England and Denver, and I guess Cincinnati. Andy Dalton's supposed to come back. Who do you guys like if you had to put it on the line right now?
I'd still take Carolina because the road goes through Carolina. And I just think Arizona's going to take them to the wire. I think it's those two teams playing for the championship in the NFC. And I think New England's the class in the AFC.
Okay, I'm taking the Arizona Cardinals by virtue of their offense. They are, I'm just telling you, they're scary good. And now they've sacked Aaron Rodgers, what, six times now? Early in the third quarter, almost for a safety here. I'm just saying, don't sleep on the Cardinals. I know everybody's looking at Carolina, but how good can they be if Jared Allen starts for them?
That's a very good point.
I'm just saying, how good can they be if he starts for them?
They've got great linebacking play is what, you know, in secondary play. Yeah, it's really their strength.
And in the AFC, what do you got? Okay, New England and then either Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, or Denver. Yeah, Arizona's maybe the best team in football right now.
Carolina did get 10 Pro Bowlers. A lot of times you get a little more than you deserve when you know, win 14, 15 games. Start of the 5 o'clock hour, Hamp It'll Be with Kaz, is sponsored by GenosEast.com, also sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group, 312-981-7200. We got Wayne in Lafayette, Indiana, who wants to talk about Shea and Noshon. Go ahead, Rain.
How's it going, guys? God bless you guys. Kaz, Hamp, OB, God bless you and your family. God bless Big Doug's family.
There you go.
Before I get to my question, guys, I want to thank the Chicago Bears and the coaching staff for knocking the smiles off them Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers and them cheese-headed pools to the north. But they were beating us and grinning and laughing last year. That was so humiliating. And I just wanted to, thank the Bears for putting the fight back in the team. And I wanted to ask you guys, you think they looked a lot better with Shea McClellan off the field today than on, with them people not bouncing off him and running by him? And also, if we get in our pick, if we got the very best linebacker, middle linebacker, or the very best right tackle, who are we going to take? And then also, does Alshon Jeffrey got himself a franchise tag because of the way he can't stay on the field right now? God bless all you guys.
Thank you, Wayne.
Wayne, you make some good points. Hey, let me just say this back to Alshon. You know they're going to franchise him. You cannot give this kid $50 million contract.
Yeah, you can't, but you're still going to overpay for him.
You got to have one more look at him when he has a compliment to not only push him, but to compliment him. And so that's what's going to happen.
With White.
You know who's going to be the casualty? Matt Forte. The money that could possibly be allocated towards him, they're going to, you know, dedicate it in the franchise. What is the franchise tag going to be? $15, $16 million? You get the average of the top four players at your position. Now, when you look at Julio Jones, A.J. Green, all those guys, I think that's what they're making. So the franchise tag will be $15 million. So that's why we're almost seeing the almost certain phasing out of Matt Forte.
And they did a good job, Dan, of playing Langford and Carey, so you could see that they can both do the things that Forte, maybe not as well, but they can do it and be serviceable doing it.
Well, listen, guys, we've done dumber things than that, okay? We truly have. So that's maybe not so bad.
It's interesting that Las Vegas has the Bears bringing back Jay Cutler as an underdog. They're expecting Jay Cutler to be elsewhere. I mean, I think Alshon, you know, there's a report out this week the New York Giants are interested in him, and there will be a lot more. But the fact that Vegas, which always seems to be in the know, they think that he's going to be elsewhere, I'd be shocked. But I'm curious where you guys come out. I mean, if you don't have Jay...
He'll be here. Yeah, you know, the last thing
I think he's got, he still has a contract.
Right.
One more year?
He's got five more years, but he's got one more year of guaranteed money that they'd have to eat $10.5 million to cut him, which, I mean, I'd be shocked.
Okay, everybody wants to laugh and mock Lovie Smith and his 9 years here. They actually, you know, he had a winning record, and he actually made it to a Super Bowl with a Rex Grossman at quarterback. All I'm saying is, you know, be careful what you wish for when you say we want Jay gone and get somebody else. Who's the somebody? You show me. Maybe I could buy it. I don't think so. Back to the caller's one point about Shea McClellan. Today, we played against Tampa Bay, who wanted to run the ball. They had the league's leading rusher. Right now, look it up online. The leading rusher in the game of football is a guy by the name of Doug Martin. He had averaged up until this game over 5 yards per carry on the year. The defense, without Shea McClellan, showed up and held him under 3 yards a carry. He was a non-factor. What does that tell you about Shea McClellan?
And after today, Hamp, he's actually now 9 yards behind Adrian Peterson, if you can imagine, because the Bears took him out of the Top Gun. He's got 1,305 yards, Peterson with 13-14. But average yards per carry, Martin far and away the best at 5.1 still. You learn how real Chicagoans live, the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago. That's Sundays at 11:30 a.m. It's on WGN-TV. All right, coming back, 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OP Show with Kaz. Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Thank you for joining us. Hamp and OB with Kaz. It's brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Bears a winner today over the Bucks, 26-21. We'll get you the next game preview, which is sponsored by Arlington Heights Ford. Number one in what matters most, you, in a matter of moments. But there is a pretty big story going around the NFL today. So in Indianapolis, an anti-aging clinic supposedly supplied quarterback Peyton Manning, we've all heard of him, with human growth hormone, the old HGH, a performance-enhancing drug banned by the NFL and every other major league, NBA, MLB, the whole deal. A pharmacist who once worked at the clinic asserts in a new report by the Al Jazeera investigative unit. So Peyton Manning is refuting these reports that he took the HGH to come back from the neck surgery, but a fairly big-time report, and obviously it's just speculation, but your reaction, Peyton Manning maybe using something of the performance-enhancing variety to get himself back on the field. Would that be something that would surprise anyone in here?
It wouldn't shock anybody. You never know. But I'll tell you this. Patrick Kane wants to be traded to Indianapolis. Apparently nobody down there has any cell phones to take pictures or anything for, you know, documentation or proof of anything, you know, untoward. Up here, if Patrick Kane jaywalks, there's eight people with cameras taking pictures of him. Well, and now, this is 4 years ago and nobody knew anything about it. Give me a break.
And one thing Peyton Manning didn't expect to wake up to today was a report from the Al Jazeera Network.
He denied it. And he said it's bogus, and so until you can give me something a little more concrete, I'm going to trust him.
And I always think, at least when it comes to the NFL, nobody cares what these guys are taking. I mean,
but they don't really care.
Well, like baseball, you got the records, right? But the NFL, bigger, stronger, faster. Like nobody looks at these guys like they're human. Even though I'm sitting with three guys who played in the NFL, and to my best guess, you guys are all human, but it's just not normal what goes on in the field. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
All right.
And so I don't think it's a big story. And I think if anything, this was probably taken to promote healing on a neck injury that, most people thought would end your career.
And
so,
it worked because it's human growth. Did you see his neck? It's 9 inches long.
Yeah,
he's like a giraffe.
He looks more like a giraffe now than ever. So, like Barry Bonds had the enormous head, he's got the long neck. So maybe it's true. Right?
Yeah, he needs to be seen in yellow with brown spots. He can be a giraffe.
Carolina Hurricanes are at the United Center. Blackhawks pregame coming up at the bottom of the hour. Real fast, we got the Lions at home. One more game, guys. OB, what do you want to see in this final week 17, game number 16, final home game, final game of the season?
I like to see him coming out fresh, ready to go. Let's get back to the fast-moving, no-huddle huddle, the hurry-up huddle. Instead of standing there and waiting, and let's go down the field. Like I've been saying all year, you're going nowhere playing football like this, folks. Just believe what I'm telling you. I just like to see him do something different, and have the defense. Let's crack up the blitzing a little bit more. Let's go after people. All I want to see.
Whatever the Detroit Lions are doing, they've won two in a row. The quarterback threw for over 300. He had two touchdowns. Calvin Johnson had a score. They're not going to lay down. You know, the old thing we always talked about, Kaz, you know, oh, yeah, they've got the car running. They can't wait for the season to end. We're going to find out who wants to play. It's going to be chilly.
Danny, I guarantee Glenn, in this room, Mark, they come out like they have been playing at home. It is all bets are off.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll get
I'm
ugly.
Not going to defend anybody. I'm not going to be whatever. Because if you come in here and surrender to the Detroit Lions, that I'll tell you what, that will be so bad, and that will last and linger for a long, long time, and nobody's going to get a pass. Nobody.
We'll do a whole lot next week on what the offseason will look like and whether or not the season was a success. So that'll be after next week. We'll be here one final time.
Wait a minute. You think the season has been a failure?
Well, see,
at best they're going to be six.
Okay, so we know where
six and ten,
they
seven and
they
nine.
They can't go out stinking the place up.
Right.
All right. They just cannot do that.
Happy New Year to you three gentlemen and to all our listeners out there. We'll get you set up for Blackhawks hockey next. OB.
Yeah. A healthy 2016 to all you people. Just stay healthy. Make it work.
Absolutely. 720 WGN.